When the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act was signed into law earlier this year, became an active law on August 1st, most people thought that the issue over a terminally ill patient being able to choose to end their life was finished. However, 2 weeks after the law went on the books, a judge ruled in favor of a challenge to this law, which temporarily suspended it. That was quickly followed by a court ruling, which once again made the law an active one, at least for now, ending the previous court's suspension. My first guest today is with us to discuss these dueling court events, what the law means for the terminally ill in New Jersey, and counter some of the myths people have about this law. She's the CEO of Compassion and Choices, Kimberly Caladan. How are you today, Kimberly?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here.
And learn more about Compassion and Choices. The website is the obvious, compassionandchoices.org. Let's just get for the foundation for this segment for people who might not be aware fully of what the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act is all about, because the title makes it seem obvious, but there's some confusion, some myths. Right? Like, for example, it's not mandatory for every physician who a patient goes to take part in this process and procedure, is it?
That's absolutely correct. So medical aid in dying is completely optional for both the doctor and the patient. Quite simply, all it is a law that authorizes a person who is terminally ill and mentally capable, who has a prognosis of 6 months or less to live, so they are going to die and they are able to make an informed decision. They're able to go to their doctor, request a prescription medication that allows them to end their life peacefully if their suffering has become too great, and their doctor is allowed to prescribe that prescription to them if they meet all of the eligibility criteria and about a dozen different regulatory requirements.
And you mentioned, too, that the term terminal disease is specifically defined in the act. So there had been some people expressing fear that this would cause a rise in people taking their lives for anything from depression to you know, the list goes on from there. So that's again, one of the other myths. And also there are multi-level, it's not just the first physician one and done. There's a multiple layer of, I guess you'd call them fail safes, just to make absolutely sure without any possible doubt, this is a decision the person has thought about and is understanding of.
You're absolutely right. The person has to, as an example, be able to self-ingest the medication. So only the dying person can make this decision. And it really is about the very, very end of a person's life. They already know they're going to die, and they're just trying to have autonomy. If their suffering becomes too great, that they have a way out. That's really what it is. We know very, very few people are going to choose this law. There is a combined 40 years of experience across 8 jurisdictions that tells you that fewer than 1% of people will choose this option, but huge numbers get peace of mind simply knowing that the law exists.
Has there been any known incident where someone basically scammed the process and took their life where they really weren't qualify through the various details of the laws that the other states have that are pretty much parallel to New Jersey's, from my understanding?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. All the states that have this now, and there were 8 at the time New Jersey's law was implemented, or 7 states and Washington, D.C., and there's a 40 combined years of evidence. There hasn't been a single incidence of abuse or coercion. There is so much oversight by doctors, with, you know, 2 doctors having to review and meet with the patient, and this is a very regulated process, and it ensures that only the dying person is the one making the decision, and that they are really at the very, very end of their life with no other options.
So the term is doctor shopping isn't possible just because of the way that this process is set up, again, with the multi-level fail-safes. But ironically, it was a doctor who filed a suit against the New Jersey Attorney General to put the temporary suspension on, Dr. Yusuf Glassman, who's also an Orthodox Jew, and his opposition was because of his religious beliefs. But then again, Kimberly, if this isn't a mandatory program, if he doesn't want to participate, someone comes to him, he can just say, sorry, that's just not my deal.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you're right, the law allows doctors to opt out from participating. He's actually objecting to the fact that the transfer of the medical record to another doctor, that he's opposed to that on moral grounds. And I think this is absolutely outrageous. It's the patient and only the patient who owns their medical record. So it is absolutely fine if Dr. Glossman doesn't want to participate in the law. But for him to hold a patient's medical record hostage because he disagrees with the treatment decision that they're making is absolutely outrageous, in my opinion.
Now, the court ruling that overturned the suspension, was that a period at the end of the sentence, or did it because I was looking at the ruling, it didn't sound like it ruled on the merit of what Dr. Glassman was claiming. It just said it's not the time to be at this point yet.
You're absolutely right. So the court process in our country is very complicated. All the courts were ruling on at this point was whether or not the law needed to be temporarily halted while it made its way through the court process. And so, fortunately, the Supreme Court has said, yes, patients have a right to continue accessing this option while we rule on the rest of what is in Dr. Glassman's complaint. So that the full rulings will continue. I mean, the full complaints will be heard by the court. But we do feel like we have a long history on our side. And the idea that a doctor could, in essence, hold a patient's medical record hostage just is so outrageous that we do hope that the Attorney General and the terminally ill residents of the state of New Jersey prevail in the end.
Talking with Kimberly Callanan, who is the CEO of Compassion and Choices, their website, compassionandchoices.org, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Do you see, looking forward, is this going to be a case where maybe the courts are waiting for someone to actually enact the law personally and take the action, and then someone has to file a suit in reaction to that action for the courts to fully get into this whole discussion, debate that everyone thought was over and done with once the law passed?
Well, the case is still active, so the court will hear Dr. Glassman's concerns. It'll go back down to the original court, and those issues will be addressed. So I don't think it will take a person actually using the law for the courts to make a decision or a ruling. It just takes the courts a while before they hear the full elements of the case. They were really just addressing whether or not the law had to be temporarily halted while the case made its way through the courts.
Now, as I mentioned, Compassion and Choices, this has been a cause that you've been strongly supportive of as an organization. What's the toughest point you have to overcome in helping people understand fully what a law such as the one here in New Jersey, the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act, means to those who are specifically defined by the law as terminally ill?
So the most important thing is for people who might want access to this option to begin having conversations with their doctors right now. And we do have a lot of information on our website and a phone number that people could call if they want access to this option. And we encourage you to start early because it's hard to find a doctor right away. And it takes doctors time to understand what this practice is all about and to be comfortable with it. And so if you wait until the very end to inquire about it, you'll have difficulty finding a doctor who's willing to support you. Even if you don't have a terminal illness, it's worth having a conversation with your doctor now if this is something that you might at some point be interested in. It gives them a little bit of time to get up to speed on the law.
Learn more about this issue and the work of Compassion and Choices at CompassionandChoices.org. We've been talking with their CEO, Kimberly Callanan. Kimberly, thanks so much for helping people understand better the importance of a law like the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act in New Jersey and the other states, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, and we really appreciate the opportunity to share more.